Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, first we start with an update with Kimberly Fletcher from Moms for America of the National School Board Association trying to criminalize showing up at school board meetings across the country. And then we dive into the seven things you must know that's actually happening in the country. Seven lies, seven truths about what's happening. Send this episode to your friends of people that are really believing the nonsense and the lies coming from the CDC and Fauci and all of that. I want to thank those of you that are supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. I want to thank Lisa from Kinsley, Michigan. Thank you. Francis from Scottsdale, Arizona. Thank you. Aphrodite from Somerville, South Carolina. It's quite a name. Or Aphrodite. Thank you. Michael from Fairfax, Virginia. And Timothy from West Palm Beach, Florida. Thank you for supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support for getting behind the work we are doing and supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. If you want to email us your thoughts, it's freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, you could do so at tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com, where we play offense with a sense of urgency to win the American culture war. That's tpusa.com. And get involved with our America Fest event coming up in December, tpusa.com/amfest. TPUSA.com/AMFEST, TPUSA.com/AMFEST. Important episode. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. This episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. There are seven lies, seven truths you must know, but there are seven lies that are kind of running the country. We're going to get into that. It's very, very important because a lot of us are living through a simulation and we need to break free of that. But first, I want to get to the National School Board Association story of how Merrick Garland instantaneously responded to the National School Board Association letter trying to classify moms and dads as domestic terrorists. And if you read the National School Board Association letter, you'll see that they were complaining about prank calls, someone doing a alleged Nazi salute in protest of masking requirements. So not a pro-Nazi salute, but saying that you guys are Nazis because of the masking thing. Another individual in Washington State for a disorderly conduct citation. One person spreading misinformation and two disorderly conduct arrests. This is what your federal government now thinks is necessary to mobilize the Federal Bureau of Investigation of the Department of Justice. Not bombs being planted, people's lives being put in danger, but people having prank phone calls and disorderly conduct arrest, where in the state of New York, that's not even a criminal offense. Well, joining us right now is Kimberly Fletcher for Moms for America, who wrote a great piece for townhall.com, which is part of the Salem family, asking the question, does my government think I'm a domestic terrorist? Kimberly, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Oh, thanks, Charlie. It's great to be here.
So walk us through it. You run Moms for America. It's momsforamerica.us, a wonderful organization. All of a sudden, are the moms that you represent, are they now considered domestic terrorists?
Yeah, apparently that's the case. And we've received a lot of obviously, we received a lot of emails, phone calls, posts on social media from all these moms who've shown up at these school board meetings. And they were like panicking. What do we do? What do we do? And I said, you guys don't understand. They have no constitutional authority whatsoever to do what they're doing. So we all need to unite together. And one of the things I keep telling moms is we either as our founding father said, stand together or hang alone. And so the more of us that unite together, the more powerful our voice is going to be. And honestly, that's the reason why they sent the letter to the federal government asking for intervention, because they fear us and the federal government fears us. And you know that when they can't even say the word mom. So I think we're actually in a really good place. And my goal is to help moms realize just how powerful their influence is, uniting us together. And more of us need to show up at these school board meetings and speak our piece.
And you wrote in the piece, it's hard to believe moms have now become the target of the United States government. But in our rapidly declining culture, every day it seems to bring a new crazy. As the president of Moms for America, we hear from moms all over the country who are angry and frustrated with the unrelenting authoritarian march endangering our children and completely disregarding our fundamental right as parents. And so, Kimberly, you've been on the front lines of kind of the moms pushing back movement that's been happening the last 9 to 12 months because of the lockdowns, the vaccine mandates, the mask mandates, and CRT. Are you seeing moms be intimidated by this authoritarian chilling of speech, or are you seeing a doubling down, a type of new resolve because of it?
You know, that's a really good question, because I kind of saw both. So the instant thing that they thought was, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? And then once we told them, no, what you need to do is stand up and be stronger, it actually emboldened them. So we are now seeing more moms gathering together in more communities and more states and saying, okay, we need to show up together. And there's several organizations out there that have united together parents to be able to empower them. A couple of organizations specifically for Mom Ours and Moms for Liberty. And we show up at these meetings, and they're not intimidated because they know their rights. They know where they come from, and now they know how to effectively exercise mm-hmm. them. So at first they were a little scared. And I think one of the things that really intimidates moms is their children. The whole reason they're going to these school board meetings is for their children. And when they feel like they're being threatened, that they're going to have their children taken away, they get really, really scared. And so once you empower them and help them realize, no, we are in the middle of a mom-led revolution, and Moms for America is on the front lines. And when they know that, then they are empowered, and there are a whole lot more of us coming.
Well, talk a little bit more about that. Talk about the moms-led revolution. And because this is, I mean, don't cross the line, right? Don't cross that line. Get the mama bears all fired up. You're gonna pay a price. It's one thing to get, you know, we're working on the students, Kimberly, as you know, very hard. We're doing some great stuff. But as soon as the moms get involved, I think it's game over. Talk more about that.
Yeah. So, and what you do with the students is actually very, very helpful for moms, because they're feeling like they're losing their children. And this is one of the reasons why they're showing up at these school board meetings. So this mom-led revolution really started last year when the whole COVID thing started. At first, moms were like, okay, we want to do the right thing. We want to make sure our children are safe, our families are safe. But then as more and more information came out, and as the classrooms were brought into the home and parents were told not to watch the screen, and more information started to come out, moms started to be aware of what really the government has been hiding from us and the teachers' unions have been hiding from us for years. And I have always said, the moment moms realize what's really going on, mm-hmm. there's going to be hell to pay. Well, and that's what's going on right now. So yeah. The mask mandates may have started it, but now they know about comprehensive sex education. They know about this social emotional learning. I mean, just the name of that gives you the PBGBs and the critical race theory. It's all under that umbrella of Marxism that they're trying to push on our children. And they know this now. So now we are going, not just going out to the school boards, but we have lawsuits. There's a lawsuit in Montana for the Billings, Montana school district for the endangerment of our children. There are a whole bunch of moms in Michigan, and in 1 week, 400 moms pulled their kids out of school, and we helped connect them with homeschool mentors to set up pods and connect. We have teachers who are moms who are coming to us and saying, we're leaving the public school system, but we want to teach. We love it. And so this mom in Michigan has started a network connecting teachers who want to teach with parents who need teachers. This is powerful what's going on right now. And we have a statement that's about to come out well, several moms are signing, and we have something I can't release yet, but we have something big coming at the end of the month that people will pay attention to.
I think it's phenomenal. And again, your website is momsforamerica.us. I want to ask this question. Temperamentally, sometimes suburban moms, they want to be agreeable. They don't want to challenge and fight. Are you seeing that starting to change? And how do you actually empower moms who know what they want to do? But it's tough, isn't it? Because all of a sudden you might get singled out and you might be ostracized a little bit. Talk about the cultural component.
Yeah, so the cultural component really comes from the whole idea of what our rights are, where they come from. And we teach that through the cottage meeting. And our cottage meeting project is kind of like Tupperware for Liberty. And what we do is we empower moms to know the story of America, what their rights are, how to effectively exercise them. And so those moms who are timid now walk into the school board with a statement that they have put together that they feel strongly about, and they're much more comfortable to speak. But even if they don't feel comfortable speaking, just being there is a powerful statement.
Well, I love that. It's momsforamerica.us. And I want to say, you read this National School Board Association letter. What you're doing, Kimberly, is working, and we have your back. And if there's any moms out there that are listening, like, I'm fired up, I got to do something, check out Kimberly's organization. Again, momsforamerica.us. Check it out. Sign up. You guys can get involved, get informed. It's part of this coalition to actually save our country. Kimberly, thank you so much for joining us, and hold the line. What you are doing is working. Because the DOJ and FBI and DHS, they wouldn't be trying to chill your speech if it wasn't for that. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
All right. Talk to you soon, Kimberly. I've been telling you guys about Relief Factor for quite some time. And truth is, I know millions of people are, in fact, 100 million people are in some kind of pain. Look, producer Andrew, he couldn't walk. He was a hobbled individual. He was bedridden in his chair, complaining all the time. And then all of a sudden, we got this call from Relief Factor. They said, hey, we want to partner with your show. We're going to send you some Relief Factor. Producer Andrew got it. He took it, got a little bit better, took some more, got a little bit better. Next thing you know, he's doing the Fallsberry flop like you wouldn't believe. In fact, he might be training for an Ironman. It's pretty incredible. Now, he says it's thanks to Relief Factor. I ask him all the time, Relief Factor? He says, relieffactor.com, 100% drug-free supplement. You can get it for less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day. So go to relieffactor.com, and I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start to see if we can get you out of pain. And then after that, it's less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. So go to relieffactor.com. That is relieffactor.com. I'm telling you, a lot of people are in pain. It's 100% drug-free. Don't go to opioids. Don't go to these other things. Check it out at relieffactor.com. I was texting back and forth with a friend of mine who lives in the Chicagoland area, who will remain anonymous. Very smart guy. About what can we put together a list of just the lies that people are believing that need to be debunked? And we've covered almost every single one of these, but you would have to go through like 8 different episodes to put them all together. I said, okay, I told our team, let's do it. Let's just do the remainder of the show. Let's just do 7 lies that people are believing right now that must be debunked. And I want you to write these down. And if every single American knew these 7 things, America would be more free. It's that simple. These 7 things are so important to the type of country we are living in right now. And so many people will say this, well, if it was true, it would be on the news. I can't stand this argument. It's probably my number one most frustrating thing. Well, Charlie, if this was true, it would be on the news. All right, let's start with number one. Did you know, and we've mentioned this earlier and previously, so we got a lot of emails because people couldn't even believe it, that there is no executive order or vaccine mandate by Joe Biden. Joe Biden's vaccine mandate does not exist. This is number one on the list. And by the way, send this dialogue and this episode to all of your liberal friends and say, hey, what do you make of these 7 things? These are factual. This is not conjecture. This is real stuff. Joe Biden has now decided to issue policy by press release. Joe Biden has now decided to govern the country through paragraphs, not through executive orders. There's a phenomenal piece by Joy Pullman from The Federalist, and we were kind of teasing this for a couple weeks, but quite honestly, kudos to Joy Pullman for writing this because it's a gutsy piece, but it's totally true. And everyone was afraid to say it out loud, which is, we know we're not living under representative government anymore. There is no executive order when it comes to the vaccine mandate. Joe Biden gave the speech, issued a press release, and never signed an executive order. Now, it could come at any time. He could all of a sudden issue a directive to OSHA. I don't think so. Too much time has passed. Instead, Joe Biden is trying to intimidate and steer corporate America in the direction he wants to go in under the threat that an executive order might come, while trying to say to people, look, deep down, I know that if I issue this executive order, I'm going to be overturned in the courts. This is a very important thing. The Biden executive order, and there are no OSHA details. And look, this is very important. He was trying to first put it into the first reconciliation bill, which is now stalled. So if you are being fired because someone is saying, well, the White House is decreeing or OSHA is decreeing it, ask them this question. Where's the executive order? Can you show it to me? Can you show me the numbers? It doesn't exist. It was a press conference. This is governing from a hologram. This is a mirage. It doesn't exist. It's a figment of your imagination. Yes, it was a certain press release. Press releases do not create public policy. There is no Biden executive order when it comes to the private businesses. Now, there is a Biden executive order when it comes to federal government employees. That is true. You can find that. The one we're talking about, though, is the one that made everyone kind of go a little wild, myself included, where he said, we are going to tell private businesses that if you have 100 employees or more, you must mandate the vaccine. It does not exist. That is lie number one, or truth number one, whatever you want to call it. It's a lie that we debunk and bring you the truth. Number two, as we come down in the last couple seconds of this segment, because we still have six more to go, the Pfizer vaccine was not approved through the traditional approval ways. It is an emergency use authorization. The new product, Comirnaty, got the approval, but it doesn't exist in this country. I'm not sure if you heard about this or not, but this is true, that the Pfizer vaccine is operating under emergency use authorization. Internet privacy is extremely important. New news out shows that Google has been colluding with the federal government to hand over your data if you might have searched something wrong into the search bar. So what are you doing to protect your search history? Well, this is why you need ExpressVPN. Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like going to the bathroom and not closing the door. It's in fact even worse than that. It's inviting someone into the bathroom, which is really weird and creepy. Internet service providers know every single website you visit. ISPs can sell this data and information to ad companies and tech giants who then use your data to target you. ExpressVPN creates a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet, so your online activity cannot be seen by anyone. It's as easy as closing the bathroom door and fire up the app and click one button. I use it on all my devices. Every device, I have those beautiful three letters, VPN with a rectangle around it. It's rated number one by CNET and TechRadar. Here's the cool thing. It works on phones, laptops, and even routers, so everyone who shares your Wi-Fi can be protected. Here's the thing. I have it on my iPhone. I have it on my iPad. I have it on my computer. ExpressVPN for me has been a game changer to be able to know that the tech companies or the government, they have to go through a whole nother barrier to try to spy on us. When we see with the new announcements out of DC, if you spoke at a school board meeting lately, you better get a VPN. Secure your online activity by visiting expressvpn.com/Charlie today. That's expressvpn.com/Charlie. It's extremely important to anonymize your online activity. expressvpn.com/Charlie. We're going through the seven things that we are being propagandized to believe that are very easy to debunk as you just look at what's out there. Number one, there is no Biden executive order and there are no OSHA details or mandates. Number two, the Pfizer vaccine was not traditionally approved. It's still under emergency use authorization. And how about number three? according to the CDC, I did not know this till I dived deep into it, which is according to the CDC and the Ohio Department of Health, they only count breakthrough cases. A breakthrough case is someone who is vaccinated and then gets the Chinese Corona Fauci virus if that person is hospitalized or it results in death. So if a vaccinated person, according to the CDC, if a vaccinated person tests positive, it is not counted as a positive case unless that person is then hospitalized or dies. And it goes off of this story. And by the way, this is CDC.gov, vaccine breakthrough case reporting, investigation, and reporting. Case investigation and reporting. We have the article right here. Pretty remarkable. Also, Fox8.com, mild COVID breakthrough cases likely underreported as infections rise. The CDC has said itself, we're not going to count that as a case unless you get hospitalized. That's not true if you're not vaccinated. If you're not vaccinated, it's counted as a case into the system. Number four, if you go to Walgreens and test positive or you go to some sort of COVID testing center, it currently will count as a Delta variant, but there is no Delta test at Walgreens or CVS. So let me be even more clear. This is just Walgreens, not the other. Some testing centers have a Delta test, which I think is very questionable. But if you go to a Walgreens or CVS, they have no Delta test, but they count it as Delta. It is assumed as Delta. Who's making these rules? So they're just assuming that it's the Delta variant. Is every single variant now the Delta variant? Number five, if a person is hospitalized or dies a few days after getting the vaccine, the CDC counts this as unvaccinated if it's less than 14 days. We have covered this before. That one is pretty well covered. And I also want to reinforce cut four. Technically, they now have a new test for the Delta variant, but almost no one has access to it. There is no commercial test for your doctor to have access to it. It's assumed Delta variant. According to CDC.gov, it says when you're fully vaccinated, you only count it as a vaccination death if it's more than 14 days. So how many of the people that are in the hospital that got vaccinated and are being counted as unvaccinated actually got their shot recently? But the CDC counts that as unvaccinated if it's less than a 14-day window. And that is according to CDC.gov. We're reading right off the website. Number six, the booster shot for Delta is not what you think it is. People who get the booster shot for Delta, it's the exact same shot as you originally got for the original virus. People are getting boosters for a variant that is apparently in the past. So this idea that there's a Delta-specific booster shot does not exist. It's just a booster. It's more of the same because they're saying that the immunity wears down over time. Rochelle Walensky said this recently on television, where she said the vaccine does not stop the person from spreading or getting the virus. Play cut 20.
Our vaccines are working exceptionally well. They continue to work well for Delta with regard to severe illness and death. They prevent it. But what they can't do anymore is prevent transmission.
Cannot prevent transmission. It is at best a treatment. It is not an inoculation. So you go through these seven things when it comes to the Chinese coronavirus, you realize how misled we have been, how deceived we have been. You continue by diving into this, and I want to get to this cut here, cut 19. We've called this before. What is the motive behind a lot of this? Why is it that they're counting Delta differently? Why is it that they're counting if it's 14 days or less of the vaccine? Why is it that they are issuing policy by press release with no enforcement? Why is it that they have the emergency use authorization for Pfizer and yet it does not go through traditional means? We are being gamed by a small collection of companies that are more than happy to make money off of mandating the vaccines. And the Pfizer CEO, Cut 19, has said, look, you get your life back within a year if you just go for annual vaccinations. What an incredible annuity. You know, somebody said the other day to me, I asked them, I said, what are the greatest companies to invest in? This is a guy who is very, very wealthy. He said, well, I've made most of my money in life on cemeteries and toll roads. I said, now, why would you make money on cemeteries and toll roads? He said, the only thing I wish I would have invested in too is barbershops. Barbershops, cemeteries, and toll roads. People are going to keep on needing their haircut. People are going to keep on dying. And people are going to keep on driving down the street if you own a toll road, if it's privately owned. Pfizer understands this business model. Pfizer wants to get into the cemetery, toll road, and barbershop business. They want to get into a planned annuity. People who own funeral homes, they joke around. They say, business never stops being bad. Might be a bad business to be in, but it's never bad itself. Pfizer understands that if they can build an annuity structure where you keep on coming back for more, they win. Cut 19.
I agree that within a year, I think we will be able to come back to normal life. But that's, again, remains to be seen. The most likely scenario for me, it is that because the virus is spread all over the world, that we will continue seeing new variants that are coming out. And also we will have vaccines that they will last at least a year. And I think the most likely scenario is annual revaccinations. But we don't know really. We need to wait and see the data.
They want to own toll roads where you have to keep on and paying money to get the next booster shot, keeping you succumbed and keeping you subservient to their endless profit model. Why is it that Merck also has lobbied against ivermectin? So Merck also sells ivermectin, but lobbied heavily against it despite no safety concerns at all. Well, it's because they want to get rich. The new medicine, the new pill that they're issuing, costs $17.74. To produce, will be sold 40 times the price, $712 per course. The treatment could bring in as much as $7 billion by the end of the year. This will make it one of the most profitable drugs ever. But who's paying for it? We are, taxpayer dollars. And in the land of $4.7 trillion being proposed, the U.S. government has already ordered 1.7 million courses of the medication. It was a $1.2 billion contract. And additionally, the drug was developed with taxpayer dollars, and at least $29 million were spent through federal money. When ivermectin, which is incredibly cheap and effective, no one wants to talk about it. And a new study shows from Nigeria, which interestingly is a much poorer country than the United States, the most populated country in Africa, that's a fun fact for you, that shows that the use of ivermectin to treat Chinese coronavirus Fauci virus patients is equally as effective as hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, azithromycin in all inflammatory, virological, and respiratory endpoints. If I had to add just kind of an eighth truth crime or thought crime to all of this, just ask your liberal friends, why is it that India and Nigeria and Uganda and the poorest countries on the planet with healthcare that is a joke are no longer in COVID crisis? They have not abolished it. It's not gone, but they are not in a pattern of COVID crisis. Ask your fear-mongering, Fauci-worshipping friends, what about Uttar Pradesh? Uttar Pradesh has 240 million people. It's a province in India. And they have 0 to 2. That's right. 0 to 2 COVID deaths a day. And they hand out ivermectin like candy. You go trick-or-treating for ivermectin in India. These poor countries do better despite being less vaccinated, yet they have had the emphasis on cheap and accessible antiviral treatments. And a new study out today, breaking news. Again, this is something that I'll be very honest. This whole chapter of America, it's been the most frustrating thing because people are so subservient to lies. It is so frustrating to live through this. New study. Rand Paul has been saying this for a while, but you weren't allowed to say it out loud, but a new study says it. New study finds aspirin can significantly cut COVID risks and even death. That's right, aspirin. Cheap, abundant, not hard to find aspirin. A new study finds that simple over-the-counter aspirin may be able to protect COVID-19 patients from extreme risk, including the need for mechanical ventilation. New research from George Washington University has determined that treating COVID patients with aspirin reduced the risk of severe illness by nearly half. So you're trying to tell me we could have reduced it by half by giving people aspirin and not having to go buy a bunch of ventilators and build them in the Ford plant and Operation Warp Speed, and we got remdesivir and we're doing all sorts. No, just aspirin, according to George. This is from George Washington University. It says that an aspirin regimen of more than 400 COVID-19 patients in hospitals across the United States cut the need for ventilation by 44%, slash ICU admission by 43%, and reduced overall in-hospital mortality rates by 47%. Dr. Jonathan Chow said, well, as we learned about the connection between blood clots and COVID-19, we knew that aspirin, used to prevent stroke and heart attack, could be important for COVID-19 patients. Our research found an association between low-dose aspirin and decreased severity of COVID-19 and death. So let me get this straight. We did not have to lose 150,000 small businesses. We didn't have to go spend $8 trillion. We didn't have to change our voting laws as we know it. We didn't have to mask our kids and keep them out of schools. We could have given people aspirin. If you're not fired up, man, I don't know what to tell you. We all know this is happening. The Pelosi-Biden regime is destroying our economy with reckless spending. Charlie Kirk here. That's not even worthy of being called news. So what should Americans do to preserve your hard-earned cash? Well, there's an under-the-radar investment the richest people in America use to protect their wealth during times like this. It's one of the oldest and most stable asset classes of all time, and thanks to a new revolutionary tech platform, everyday Americans can finally access it for the first time. You need to buy things that are inflation resistant. So what is it? High-end art. In fact, contemporary art outperformed other assets like gold, real estate, and the S&P 500 by nearly twofold from 1995 to 2020. That's amazing considering this historic bull run we just saw. A lot of people are trying to hedge their portfolios so they have a wait list, but my audience is in great luck. We have a special link to let listeners jump to the front of the line. Buy assets that inflation will not destroy. So go to masterworks.io/Kirk. That is masterworks.io/Kirk. Before deciding to invest, carefully review the important disclosures at masterworks.io/disclaimer. You can email me freedom@charliekirk.com. I want to hear directly from you. Parents out there, does it bother you? I'm actually very curious. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe this is like, yeah, not a big deal. Does it bother you that Superman has now come out, according to DC Comics, and he's coming out as LGBTQ? Superman is now confirmed to be bisexual, according to DC Comics, and the new Superman shows him making out with another man. Is that a man that he's making out with the pink hair? Is that a man? The DC Comics reveal the woke superhero will start a gay romance with the male best friend, with a boy. Wasn't it Lois Lane in the original? Yeah, Lois Lane was not a man or a boy. That's for sure. I'm curious, does it bother you? freedom@charliekirk.com. We're going to leave that right there. There's really nothing else I can really say that's going to be constructive for the West from this point forward. Okay, next topic here. I want to get to some sound here of the southern border crisis. Cut 16, Bill Malusion reports on Joe Biden blocking the border wall construction. This is incredible. $100 million worth of steel just sitting around going to absolute waste. Joe Biden wants the southern border wide open, obviously. The Texas government is not doing anything to try to solve it. So here's what leadership would look like. Greg Abbott and the governor of Texas should go purchase that steel from the federal government or get their own steel and go build the wall immediately. Play cut 16.
Here in La Jolla, Texas, this is on Saturday. You can see more steel just sitting out here in the sun going unused. This was ready to go into the ground. They started building the wall out here in La Jolla where they really need it. We see runners coming through here all the time. We've shown you guys video from La Jolla for the past 6 months now. You've seen how many people come through this area. Border agents tell us they really need the wall here. They're incredibly frustrated. They're not going to get it because they can't be everywhere at once, and the wall would be a force multiplier for them to help create choke points.
The wall would be a place to be able to create choke points, but instead the steel lays around and is going to rust while the cartel runs the southern border. I was in Calvary Chapel Diamond Bar yesterday, and a phenomenal guy who picked me up drove me by a location. It's received no press coverage at all, and I want to make sure I get this location correct. But when I landed, it's right near Brackett Field Airport. There is a fairgrounds there called Fairplex. And he said, yeah, right on the other side there, they have these open-air facilities of over 2,500 illegal children that have just been unaccompanied and come into the country. I said, what, are they in cages? He said, oh, it's worse than that. So, of course, they don't attack the Biden regime for any of that. That's just one area in California where you have 2,500 illegal children. Some are 8, 9, 10 years old that were, of course, brought with by the cartels. They abandon the kids, and then they cross the border. And so the question I really think that many of us need to ask is, when is someone going to start doing something about this? When are we actually going to start to secure the southern border and not just issue memos and press releases about this, but actually start to have some significant action about it? It's unsustainable, and we know it. We know that the porous southern border being wide open is bad for the country. It's bad for the culture. But it's time for our leaders to start doing something about it. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our program, it's charliekirk.com/support. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.